Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Can you see just 25?
Yes.
Great, thank you. Well, as always, you know, the fasting Ramadan is so important, but the part of our journey is made even more amazing by our experience with the Quran. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to share what my experience is. Every year it's a little bit different, and so different things stand out to me in a way that perhaps they didn't the year before. That's why we consider the Quran a living text. It's very dynamic and it's constantly interacting with us in its own way. So just to begin, this verse here and the surahs that this is from is the Surah Ash-Shura. It's not that different from any other verses in the Quran, but I just wanted to bring your attention to these words here that I've highlighted. In Arabic, laysa kamithlihi shay'un. It says, the originator is of the heavens and the earth, has given you mates of your own kind, just as he has willed that among the beasts there be mates, to multiply you thereby. So he's telling us that we're all in pairs. But then he says, but there's nothing like unto him, and he alone is all hearing, all seeing. So while everything else in the universe, all living creatures are made in pairs, there is no pair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Dr. Hatoud, Maher Hatoud, Allah yarhamhu, used to point this verse out, these words out, laysa kamithlihi shay, to remind us that there is nothing like God. And something about the Arabic even feels different than when you say it in English. So this is something to keep in your mind. It's a small phrase, but when you're pondering the wonder of God, then you can think of those words. Moving along, a couple of verses stood out to me this time in a way that made me think, especially because we're living in a time where we're seeing a lot of hardship that people are experiencing. Sometimes it's difficult to understand why that happens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he says, he has the keys to the heavens and the earth. He grants abundant sustenance or gives it in scant measure unto whomever he wills. For behold, he has full knowledge of everything. And so this idea that he gives to some and to others he gives less, and he has all knowledge, it doesn't quite always make sense to us. And sometimes, frankly, some people will consider it to seem sort of unfair, right? What is it that, why do some people get more and others less? Well, he goes on to tell us, and this is in the next surah, where he says, but is it they who distribute thy sustainer's grace? Nay, it is we who distribute their means of livelihood among them in the life of this world, and raise some of them by degrees above others, darajat, to the end that they might avail themselves of one another's help. So too, it is we who bestow gifts of the Spirit upon whom we will, and this your sustainer's grace is better than all that they may amass. So here he says, he grants sustenance, gives it in scant measure, and he knows everything. And then he tells us, for those of us who have been given more than others and of our brothers and sisters in humanity, what is going on here? He raises them by degree so they might avail themselves of one another's help, and puts the responsibility on us then to then care for and reach out and help those who are in need or who are less fortunate than we are. So it's a very clear connection in my mind, at least it stood out this way when I read it this time. And similarly, we see, going back to this surah, the 42, when we're talking about the Prophet, peace be upon him, God gives glad tidings to such of his servants as attain to faith and do righteous deeds. And he tells the Prophet, say, no reward do I ask of you for this message other than that you should love your fellow men. Which is very interesting. What is the reward he wants from us? He's asking us to love our fellow men. It's al-mawaddatu fil qurba. Now, some people translate qurba as near of kin, so your relatives. But in this very general statement, it doesn't make sense. So the qurba is the humanity, our brothers and sisters in humanity. He doesn't ask for the reward of anything that you could give the Prophet, even that we become Muslim, but that we love our fellow men. And that goes back to this other idea of helping our fellow men if they are in need. So if anyone gains the merit of a good deed, we shall grant him through it an increase of good. And verily, Allah is much forgiving, ever responsive to gratitude. And we know how important that is. Moving along, there's a series of verses that really are very meaningful to me. They make me stop and think and wonder if I could really live up to what's being called for here. So it starts out in Surah Ash-Shura, and this is the verse where it talks about Shura, the consultation. Whatever you are given now is but for the enjoyment of life in this world, whereas that which is with Allah is far better and more enduring. It shall be given to all who attain to faith and in their sustainer place their trust. So he's talking about these people who believe and trust Allah, who shun the more heinous sins and abominations, al-kaba'ir, and who, whenever they are moved to anger, readily forgive. So think about that. When someone makes you angry and you're infuriated, whether it's in your personal life, in your workplace, at the world, the first thing he's telling us is to forgive. And forgiveness is something that is not just a word where you forgive somebody. It is something where you have to release all that anger from yourself to forgive. And these same people who believe in God and place their trust in him respond to the call of their sustainer in constant prayer, and whose rule is consultation among themselves. So this is part of what it is to be a believer. Pray and consult. And who spend on others out of what we provide them as sustenance, going back to that notion that we talked about earlier. But this idea of shura and consultation is not just about political leaders or in government, but it is how we conduct our affairs with our families, with our colleagues, with our community, and consultation as a way of doing things, not in some form of hierarchy where we tell people what to do, but we consult. And of course, one of the best examples in the Quran from an earlier juz is that of the Queen of Sheba, who consulted her leaders before making decision. And who, whenever tyranny afflicts themselves, then defend themselves. So this is no turning the other cheek for Muslims. When we are afflicted by tyranny, oppression, we are able to defend ourselves. Islam gives us that right. But requiting evil may too become an evil. If you become more aggressive than the aggressor against you, or you take it out on somebody else, then it's an evil. Hence, whoever pardons his foe and makes peace, his reward rests with God. So this is taking it to a higher level, that you are allowed to requite them, but this way it's better to pardon your foe and make peace. For verily, he does not love evildoers. And then he says, yet indeed is for any who defend themselves after having been wronged, no blame whatever attaches to them. If you've been wronged and you defend yourself, that is allowed. But he says, blame attaches to those who oppress people and behave outrageously on earth, offending against all that is right. For them, there is grievous suffering in store. To be sure, those who are oppressors and harm other people, they are the ones who will suffer. And then he says again, but if one is patient in adversity and forgives, imagine forgiving the oppressor, forgiving the tyrant. We wouldn't really ask people to do that. We wouldn't expect them to. But Allah is sort of gently nudging us in that direction. Behold is indeed something to set one's heart upon. It doesn't tell you it's horrible if you don't do it, but he's pushing us in this direction of forgiveness and pardon, which would be a huge step, and you can imagine all the cases that we can think of. Finally, just to finish up, of course, I'm drawn to these verses related to God's creation, and trying to understand what he's saying and realizing there's these messages here that mean different things in different times and places. And those of you reading this juz may have been aware that he talked about all the creations in both the heavens and all of the heavens and earth beyond just our world. But he says he created, provided for you ships and animals whereon you ride, so you might gain mastery over them. And whenever you master them, you remember your sustainer's blessing and say, limitless in his glory is he who has made subservient to our use, for we would not have been able to attain it. And he says again, it is Allah who has made the sea subservient to his laws, to you, so that ships might sail through at his behest, and you might seek to obtain of his bounty, and you might have cause to be grateful. And the point here is that when he talks about nature being subservient to us, that sun and the moon, it doesn't make sense, right? How do they serve us? But Elsewhere, he said, you know, this is a sign for people who think, because if a human being has the capacity to build a ship that can float and that can withstand, you know, the seas and the violent turbulence of the ocean and get from one place to another, that in that way, that relationship between the ship and the water is where that subservience comes in. Because of our intellect and our ability to think, for a human being to be able to train a horse to serve him and ride it, why would the animal do that? Unless there were some kind of relationship, but it has to be initiated by the human being based on what Allah has given us in our, and as his creation. So part of this message is that things don't are just there to serve us. It's an actual active relationship between us and Allah's creation that enables us to make use of everything that he has put out before us. So those are my thoughts for tonight, and I wish everybody a very blessed last few days of Ramadan, inshallah, and look forward to seeing you soon sometime in community as we have been used to doing, inshallah.
Thank you.